they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dog Blues.
A very good morning, listeners, as we begin our footy weekend in the best possible way each Saturday from 9 a.m. right here on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. On day 8,688 since the Mighty Blues last lofted the Premiership Cup, your official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues, remain to bring you the best footy panel on radio today. Your host, as always, are myself, John Allen, Chris Brownie, Adam Briggs for the first time, and the dulcet tones of Andy Baritone Jones. Good morning, firstly, to you always, Chris. And, mate, what's on the Blues brekkie menu today?
Well, John and listeners, we discuss all the Blues and AFL news, as well as previewing the remaining AFL round, including our tips. Our special guest live interview today is Carlton Football Club historian and Carltonpedia, Tony DeBoffo. We cross live, as always, to the hyphen David Rees-Jones for the much-anticipated segment, The Shirt Front. We review last week's game against the Ds. We give details of the upcoming WA Blues supporter events and anything else in football that we can squeeze in right here on Breakfast with the Blues.
And a good morning, as I mentioned earlier, on his debut for Breakfast with the Blues to Vice Chairman of the WA Blues, Adam Briggs. Welcome, Adam.
Thanks, John.
No worries, mate.
Nice to be here, BJ.
Now, as we always do with our greenhorns, we've got to ask you, mate, how did you become a blue bagger?
Well, I didn't prepare for this. So
that's because you didn't read the run sheet I emailed earlier in the week, clearly.
There's a run sheet. Yeah, so look, as a kid, I moved across the country. So born over here in WA, but moved across the country to Sydney as a kid, and was over there when South Melbourne moved up and became Sydney Swans. And that was the first time footy entered Sydney. Played a bit of Little League in Sydney, and on our way back across the country, stopped in Princes Park, so the home of the WA Blues. Not for a very long time, but I remember it. And when I came back over here, kept watching the VFL and kept watching the Mighty Blues. And by the time the Eagles entered the competition, there was no going back.
Absolutely.
Well done,
good man.
Well done.
Good man. Nice work.
And mate, while you're in a bit of a roll, the show wouldn't exist without a little bit of help from our sponsors, so would you like to rattle it off and say thanks?
Yeah, so we'd like to thank our major sponsors, Hyundai WA, our platinum sponsors, who are a great support to us, Allmark and Associates, Tech Tiger, Master Picture Framers, and the home of the Carlton Football Club, WA Football Club, the Empire, on 220 Great Eastern Highway in Leth Lane, for their ongoing support, which allows us to bring you this program each week.
Nice work, Adam, and welcome this morning, Andy. Welcome back into the studio, mate. It's been a few weeks.
Thanks, Johnny. Appreciate it, mate.
No worries, mate. And what's going on in AFL news?
So a topic that's been circulating the rumour mill this week, and one that reflects our Carlton bias, Adelaide will trade Bryce Gibbs out at season's end in a shocking move considering how highly touted the trade was back in 2017. Now, Bryce is rumoured to be uneasy with some senior teammates, including club captain Taylor Walker, and two of Adelaide's assistant coaches. And to add insult to injury, crosstown rivals Port Adelaide have expressed their interest in the gifted on-baller. Apparently, Bryce's manager has also been approached by St Kilda, Sydney, Gold Coast, Hawthorn and Essendon. What do you lads reckon about Bryce's plight?
Well, he could only go to Port Adelaide, couldn't he? That's why he had to go back there in the first place to be with the family.
Yeah,
and so, yeah, that's interesting as it unfolds. Surely he has to stay at Port, or go to Port, I should say.
We'll take him for pick 79 or something, won't we?
Yeah, I actually hope that he does the tree crowd with his Hawthorn to Frio and back to Hawthorn trade and comes back to the Blues and lofts a premiership cup with the likes of Paddy Dow and Lockie O'Brien, who are the players that we picked up with draft selections 3 and 10.
Not a bad
pick. That Adelaide traded to us for Bryce in 2017.
Not bad
at
all.
As much as the heart would like to see it, I don't see it happening.
Nor do I.
We'll move on from that one. What else you got for us, Andy?
2012 Premiership coach John Longmire has put pen to paper on a deal that will see him at the Swans until the end of 2023. Horses resisted the lure to coach his former club in North Melbourne after they parted with Brad Scott in May. Horses excited about the Sydney list, but I'm personally not so sure myself, but I might be singing a different tune after today's match against the Bloods. I really hope not. Where do you folks think Sydney are at?
I think they're in a little bit of a rebuild. They've got some good youngsters, and with that academy up there, they're getting some good first picks.
Yeah, and I think their senior players, especially Josh Kennedy, they're starting to look a bit beaten up.
True.
They're looking a bit tired. So they need that to come through, and maybe Horse is the right man to bring them through that next period. So well done, Horse. We love a bit of integrity news there, and I reckon he's done well. So what else you got for us, Andy?
After 741 days, Tassie product Grant Birchall pulls on the brown and gold against the purple mob we beat a couple of weeks ago. Birch returns to the Hawthorn side after a fractured jaw in early 2017, followed by a PCL injury that ruled him out of 2018, before calf issues marred the best part of his 29 campaign. Now, for me, this is great because no matter who you follow, you want to see the best talent out on the park. Four-time premiership player, lads. Do you reckon he can help the Hawks make a late push for the eight?
Very good footballer. I don't think the Hawks can make the eight. Good to see him back.
He'll be important for them for the next couple of years, like Thomas is for us, and that type of player, champion.
So, that experience that you need to lead them.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Moving on.
Props to the Collingwood cheer squad for whacking West Coast and having a bit of a laugh at their own expense in regards to their shoddy banner on grand final day. It read, "Whilst a fallen banner can look quite feeble, it's not as bad as a blow-up eagle." What a bunch of wordsmiths.
Yeah, no, that was impressive. And, of course, the Carlton cheer squad are famous for their banners, but that was particularly clever as well. So as difficult as it is for us to do so, we give a tip of the hat to the Collingwood cheer squad. And I didn't mention earlier in the introductions, welcome Gary Wright, our producer, into the studio today, sitting in, making sure that old Johnny presses the right buttons again, which he never does.
Adorned with his Collingwood beanie.
He's up and about.
Tell you what, up and about. Overstated. What else we got?
Apart from that, Jack Revolt returns for the Tigers against the Giants. Lockie Whitfield for the Giants also returns in the same match. Max Gawn and Jake Lever return for the D's. Do you lads have anything you want to mention in the world of AFL?
No, it's been pretty good with any no political problems or anything. It's been okay this week. No,
it's been good. There's a couple of bits of Blues news we'll touch on later. But before we get to that, Chris, what have we got in the for the rest of the round? We'll quickly go through our predictions.
Yep, okay. Well, after West Coast Collingwood game last night, we move on to a big one this morning, later this morning, Sydney v Carlton at the SCG. We match up okay against Sydney, and it's good to have Cripper back along with the debutant Hugh Goddard. No Franklin is a bonus. I say Blues in a tight one.
Blues in a tight one for me.
Can you baggers?
Tighter than the nun's nasty little Blues.
Hawthorn v Freo in Launceston this afternoon. Hawks seem to have turned their season around with the win against the struggling Pies last week. Hawks will be too strong for Freo in chilly Tassie.
Yeah, I think Freo might bounce back.
Okay.
I'm going to go the Hawks.
Yeah, I actually like the Hawks in this one.
Yeah. Essendon versus North at Marvel Stadium this afternoon. Essendon's on a roll, winning four out of the last five. I do expect this to be close, but Essendon just for me.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but Essendon for me too.
Cunnington and Co will be way too strong for the Essendon midfield.
Very dicey. I won't be mentioning Cunnington again there, Andy. I will be going for the Roos.
Gold Coast v Adelaide at Metricon Stadium this evening. Gold Coast and Adelaide were both terrible last week. Expect the response from both sides, but I expect Adelaide will be way too good for Gold Coast.
Oh, how much do I want to say Gold Coast? But no, Adelaide.
It has to be Adelaide. Go the Suns.
Yeah. Geelong versus St Kilda down at Cadinia Park this evening. The last time the Saints beat Geelong in Geelong was in 1999. The Cats coming off the loss last week won't be any good for the Saints. Ooh. I think the Cats easy.
Oh, this could get ugly.
Yeah, yeah,
I think Geelong does a number on the Saints here tonight just to make a statement.
Yeah, Cats for me.
It's going to be the pussies all the way.
Richmond v GWS at the MCG tomorrow. Richmond have lost their past two against GWS, but a big win last week over the Gold Coast will have them primed. GWS have a few stars out, and I think the Tigers will be way, way, way too good.
Not for me. I think Lockie Whitfield's influence on the GWS structure was way underestimated. He's out over the last few weeks, and I think he'll be important, and GWS will get the job done.
Look out for the Tigers come finals time, I reckon.
Yeah, I think the Tigs are just going to start getting it together with their ins. As the more games they play together, they're going to get stronger. So Tigers to make a little statement this week.
Western Bulldog versus Melbourne at Marvel Stadium tomorrow afternoon. Bulldogs have resurrected their year with a few wins in a row. They are playing some good footy, and the Demons were lucky to hold on last week against us. I think the Bulldogs will be a bit too slick for the Demons and win comfortably.
Yeah, Bulldogs are looking good in the contest again. I think the Bulldogs win it.
Yeah, I reckon McRae's going to have 40 touches, so doggies for me.
Doggies.
Port Adelaide versus Brisbane Adelaide Oval tomorrow afternoon. This should be a tight game with two sides in good form. Only because it's in Adelaide, I'll pick power, but only just.
I'm going against my tipping theory here that you pick Port Adelaide every 2 weeks, but because they're at home 2 weeks in a row, I think Port Adelaide will get the job done against Brisbane tonight.
Yeah, they've got a lot to prove. They've been a bit of a roller coaster this season, so I think they'll actually beat the Lions at Adelaide Oval.
I'm a non-conformist, so I'm going to go for the Lions.
Okay.
Righto. Thanks very much for that, Chris. And we've got some injury updates on the Carlton list. And we'll go through the ins and outs for our game that starts in a couple of hours. So I'll throw it over to you, Adam, for that.
Yeah, so look, I think we should start with the biggest news. And look, I picked up a training run sheet from, I'll do a bit of a shout out to Tony...
Terry Dacani.
Terry
Dacani. If you're listening, Terry, which I think he might be today.
From Blues Abroad or Blue Abroad on Facebook, if you guys want to pick up on someone who does some really good reports on the games past and coming up, get on there and have a listen to him. He attended training and gave a bit of a report, and you know the training session started with the group standing at the top of the goal square, huddled in a tight group, and Hugh Goddard received the news about his debut. Plenty of shouting and plenty of energy around the group about that. So. Huge for his first game, debut game for the Blues. So that's massive news and good luck to him. Jacob Wiedering, as everyone knows, is out this week with that badly broken nose. He didn't train. He looked unlikely all week. So yeah, and then the news was confirmed. Mitch McGovern listed as rested.
Managed.
That was the one. Yeah. So he did a lot of work on the bag. So he was put through a pretty grueling session this week. And I think the coach made some comments that he's never really got his training blocks right since a poor start to pre-season. So you know, good luck to him to get it back together and come back into the side fitter and stronger and ready to go. Matt Kennedy hobbled off the ground from training, so that was a concern, but. Unfounded, he's been named, so he'll be okay.
Now, interestingly, our boy, Chozza, Josh DeLuca, named in the emergencies.
Yeah.
Kennedy did hobble off and didn't return, so that could be a late one to look out for. So
I don't know who travelled over with him. Normally they take one emergency, but I didn't notice.
In the suitcase,
yeah,
maybe.
Sort of hope DeLuca gets the opportunity to play either for us or, like, it'd be
a
shame if he had
to
sit out.
Yeah.
And the biggest one, Patrick Cripps, the captain's back. So
Patrick who?
I thought he'd come up through the VFL.
yeah, so much for his big call.
Yeah, the captain's back, trained freely, no bandage on the knee, looked really good in training, they reckon. So, great news. And, look, obviously not named, but, you know, just as a side note, the Doc was out there doing running drills and moving really well by all accounts.
Fantastic.
Setterfield did plenty of forward craft, so you know he was really good for us up forward last week.
Yeah,
I think that
goals.
Could be an indication of how he plays this week. David Cunningham ran laps with no strapping on the knee. Not named though for the week, was he?
No, he's not playing.
Okay, and Harry trained to the main group and just looks ready to go, so he's back in this week as well.
Rock and roll. So the ins, of course.
So that was Cripper. That was, yeah, Hugh Goddard, Harry Mackay, and Cripper.
Yep.
All in. And outs were Caleb Marchbank, Jacob Wiedering, and Mitch McGovern, as I said. And the new one
managed.
Was Hugh Goddard. And Zach Fisher playing his 50th game.
Yes. Big shout out to Zach and to the family over there in York.
Let's do it for Zach, eh? Because he's been great for us in his first 50.
And if anyone gets an opportunity to jump onto the Carlton Football Club website or if they got the app on the phone and have a look at the highlights package they put together for Zach Fisher, it's just,
great.
Mate, makes you look forward to the next 50. Yep. I'll tell you, he is a ripper. Oh. Adam, you've been a massive fan of his from the start, so
absolutely.
Me too.
What an absolute ripper. Well done, Zach. And we look forward to the next 250.
Yep.
Rightio, Chris, you are never going to get through the review of the Blues versus Demons in a minute and a half. So what we will do is I'm going to throw to the break a little bit early, and after our special interview, we'll jump to that one and the Northern Blues review in our second segment. When we do come back, Blues fans and football fans alike listening in. Hope you've enjoyed the program so far. We're going to go to a break. We've got a very special guest today. Is Carlton Football Club historian, accomplished author, journalist, all-round Carltonpedia man, Tony DeBolfo. So at this point of the evening... The evening. Well, I have come off a two-hour power nap from a big night at work last night. Again, go Blues.
Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. More information on the WA Blue schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues.
Station sponsor. Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers.
It's okay. TechTiger can help.
For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au.
Tech Tiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Blue Baggers of WA. Join more than 60,000 members and be part of the record-breaking Carlton Army today. It is time to prove you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria in 2019. The region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership.carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a Blue Bagger.
Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dog Blues.
Welcome back to your best start to the footy weekend right here on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by your WA Carlton Football Club Network supporter group, the WA Blues. Myself, John Allen, with fellow panellists today, Chris Brownie, Adam Briggs, and the dulcet tones of Andy Baritone Jones. Now, it is time to cross to a man who is best described as a living, walking, talking, and Carltonpedia, a lifelong Blue Bagger who has paved a successful career as an author, journalist, and whose unwavering passion for the mighty Blue Baggers led him to be employed by the Carlton Football Club itself as their official historian. He's one half of the famous Two Tones. And we say welcome to the first time to Tony DeBolfo to Breakfast with the Blues. Morning, Tony. How are you going?
Morning, John. The check's in the mail, mate.
No worries. I do love a good introduction. And that was a bit of a ripper, but well-deserved as well. Tony.
Lovely to speak to you, boys.
Great to have you on. Tony, we love talking to our amazing contributors at the club, apart from getting present past players on for interviews. Stakeholders like yourself are really important to us, and we love sharing information with our supporters. So, as we always do, we'd just like to begin by asking you to explain to the listeners where it all began, mate. What made you a Blue Bagger, and what does it all mean to you?
What an opportunity to talk to you, fellas. Look, it all started for me. I always say it's either family or fate. If you ask any supporter, whether he can't, Collingwood or whatever, why they're aligned with a particular club, I've always found that it's one of those two. And for me, it was definitely family because, my grandfather was, a Northern Italian who migrated to Melbourne, to Australia in 1927. And like so many of his ilk of that particular period of time, initially boarded in Carlton. A lot of the migrants flocked to some of the boarding houses were in and around Lygon Street, and he was one of those. And some great person, I don't know who it was, but convinced my grandfather one day at 1930 to make the slow stroll up the boulevard to Prince's Park. And he saw Horry Clover play for Carlton, the great, probably the best Carlton forward in between the wars. And my grandfather was hooked. And I think from that period on, 1930 till he died in 1979, he followed Carlton. And some of my happiest memories involve going to Prince's Park and standing at the Garden Street Inn with my brother, my father and my grandfather. He was a cabinet bookmaker by profession. And when I was a kid of about 7 or 8, he fashioned this little collapsible stool made of Baltic pine. And that magnificent moment, fellas, I'm sure you can relate to it, when you're a kid going to the footy and for the first time you can stand on your little seat and on the terraces and look out over the grown-ups' heads out to the field of dreams. And to me, this image, it's been seared in my mind. It was like I saw it yesterday. I saw Nichols, Jesolenko, Silvani, Gary Crane, Sid Jackson all running around. And well, that was it for me. As I say, it was probably burned in my brain, and it's a memory I think I'll take to the grave with me.
I had one of those little stools too, Tony, because I'm as tall as anything, so it was fantastic. And I could actually stand and watch it too.
Mate. Where did you used to stand, Chris?
I was always right behind the Heatley, right behind the goals, mate.
Yes. Well, you know, when the Premiership quarter was on in earnest, that third quarter, I mean, the Heatley stand was rocking, you know, and it was, that was a great ground. And, you know, I do lament the fact that there's no games here anymore. I can remember Bruce Doyle came into the club for an interview. This is back in 2012, and that was probably one of the greatest privileges I ever had as a supporter, to sit down with Bruce at the number 11 locker and hear his story. And before we did that interview, he went on a sentimental tour of the ground, and it was late at night. There was no one else around. And I can remember him heading out to the landing behind the goals of the Heatley stand in, Chris, and I could see his mind ticking over. He's looking around the ground. And I remember saying to him, Bruce, what are you actually thinking about? To which he replied, I'm wondering why there aren't games of football still played here.
Yeah.
And when you hear someone like Bruce Doyle say that, you realise the power of the place. And you know, unfortunately, that territorial nature of the game is lost. And I think once the football was taken away from the local venues, a lot of the DNA of clubs died with it. And I think that's, a great loss to the game in totality, I feel.
Couldn't agree more. And look, thanks very much for all those insights, Tony. Now, I'm going to throw it out to the panel for some more questions before you do a Mark Laguda show. You're on us and use up all your allocation on Chris Brownie. He's very selfish, Chris. He would love to get around you with a cuddle and use up all the time. But I'm going to throw it over to Andy for a question.
G'day, Tony. It's Andy Jones here. It's a pleasure and honour to talk to you, mate. An accomplished author in your own right, you've written a couple of autobiographies involving some Carlton names like Silvani, Kurtifidis, Kernahan. Who's your favourite blue bagger that you wrote about and why?
Look, when I think back now, Andy, great question. I'd have to say the big bloke in the number 4, Guernsey Sticks. A very funny story about Stephen Kernahan relating to the writing of the book. He had this reputation, amongst other things, that as good a player he was, somehow he managed to die on junk food. And I can remember the Blues were training out at the old showground, which is in sort of north of the city in Kensington. And I can remember going out there to cover training, and I think it was when Greg Williams had just joined the club, so there was a bit going on. And I can remember covering the session and then heading back along Flemington Road back towards the Carlton ground. And I can remember driving up Flemington Road, at the end of training, there was a McDonald's restaurant on the left-hand side. And I can remember peering in through the window of the car into McDonald's and seeing in the queue, standing there in his gear, number 4 on the back, ordering a quarter pounder was Kernahan. He left training and then thought he'd loaded up with junk food on the way back to the club. When I did the book, I can remember going around to his house, you know, we sat down and talked, you know, and recorded a lot of material for the book. And I can remember a couple of moments in time where he lost his train of thought. So he'd get up off the table, away from the table, and he'd walk to his kitchen door, open up this drawer, and he had the place booby-trapped with packets of Twisties, Shareboy chips, anything like that. He got me a pack. He opened up a pack, and that was his inspiration. And off he went again. And it was probably some of the best chapters I think I got out of Stephen King were based on the packets of Twisties that he opened up in his kitchen.
Carb loading. It's called carb loading.
That's great.
Tony, before I throw you to Chris for a question, I've got to thank you very much for those insights on sticks because unbeknownst to yourself and everyone else in the studio, he's our special guest in the studio next week. So that's fantastic material. We'll make sure we bring the twisties into the studio.
I've got that. I've written it down.
Throw it over to you, Chris. Make it fast. Yeah, go on, Tony.
And when you get him on, boys, just remind him that Norton's has reopened on Royal Parade, which is the northern scene of the famous song. There is talk, fellas. I went down to Norton's the other day. The old bench at the front of the pub where Stick sang that song after the 87 Grand Final is still there. And there's a bit of talk around town that maybe a bronze statue could be commissioned as a great man for that bench. So that, get it going on
with the pint over the head.
I like it. I'll sign that petition.
Good morning, Tony. Chris here. Tony,
how are you, Chris?
Yeah, very well, mate. Tony, you carry a massive vault of knowledge when it comes to all things Carlton, and nobody would be better suited to being the club historian. Your role at the club...
Well, that's very kind of you.
Your role at the club also includes journalism, as John mentioned before, that very popular podcast, The Two Tones. How are you enjoying life at the club, and what other activities are you involved in where your lifelong passion for the Blues are at the forefront?
Wow, that's a great question, Chris. One thing I'll say in being historian of an old club like the Carlton Football Club is that I realise how much I don't know, because the place carries so much history with it. And I often say to people, just this week, I'll give you an example. A lady walked in with a mounted photograph that she handed over to the club for our archive of the team that toured Adelaide in 1884. And it's this magnificent photograph of the Carlton players in their lace-ups taken in Adelaide after they'd caught the SS Adelaide from Melbourne to Port Adelaide to play there. So they took a sailing ship across, might have been a steamship, and played over there. So I guess in that respect, it never ceases to amaze that there are these great stories that are perhaps revived, you know, or stories that haven't been told 130, 140 years after the event, which I really love. And when I'm not sort of writing for the club, I make it a point to actually try and catalogue some of the items like that photograph I just spoke about. The club, in its wisdom, has actually availed a really great space in what was the old hero stand, where we now have an area where we can, it's an archive, where we can actually catalogue items and hopefully have them ready for display when the new redevelopment of the ground takes place, probably in a year or two from now. So very exciting times, and notwithstanding the fact that the team itself is on the rise, and I can tell you, when the team's performing well, it's a lot happier place, I can promise you that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. Over to you, Adam.
G'day, Tony. Adam Briggs here, mate. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Time constraints aside, I could listen to you talk about Carlton all day, mate, and I'll wait for your Two Tones podcast to drop every week.
No drivers, Adam.
And
thank you, mate.
Yeah, I encourage everybody else out there who hasn't listened to it to have a listen.
Thank you.
Tony, in all your years as a Blue Bagger, you know, attending games, functions, being involved in several roles at the club and having been through all the highs and lows of the years, especially the last few years, what is, A, your greatest memory of the club, and B, the time you wish you had again?
Wow. Well, geez, there's so many, you know, you can rattle off a million. But one that does stick out in my mind, just off the top, relates to the 82 Grand Final, the Carlton-Richmond Grand Final. And I can remember I was covering that game for the Herald Sun in Melbourne. And in those days, the journalists, you know, they sit in the press box at the ground, which at the MCG, you may or may not know, is shared with the timekeepers. And I can remember
it was a great game. Like, there was 3 goals in it. It was a pretty tight game. Had it all. Had the streaker. You know, a lot of fights in the end early in the first quarter, and it was all happening. And I can just remember the thing that sticks in my mind was, you know, sometimes when you're the footy and you're in perfect synergy with the player having a shot for goal. You know, you're aligned with the player that you're looking at and the goal. So this was in the forward pocket, and I can just remember Alex Marcoux kicking the sealer to seal that grand final, and it was like that kick absolutely bisected the big sticks, and I was right behind his back, and it just was perfect alignment, and that was probably the most euphoric moment I reckon I've ever had. Yeah, that actually sealed the deal for a premiership. And whenever I bump into the great man at Carlton functions or Spirit of Carlton things, I always remind him about that. That probably he probably gave me my greatest memory. And But to say that would be to do an injustice to so many other great moments in time I've seen. You know, it's hard to rattle them all off. There's so many.
And amongst all those great memories, mate, as Adam alluded to there, what's the one the one point in time at Carlton that you wish we could have back and do better or do again?
For good or for bad, you mean? I mean, you know, bad. There's some moments in time where you think for bad.
I'm the guy who always asks about the bad.
Yeah, we might have done a few things differently in 2002 when we were stripped of draft selection. So I spoke to Shane O'Sullivan this week about it, and can you imagine how he must have felt rocking up to the draft knowing, thinking initially that Carlton were going to get Brendan Goddard and Wells else over the line, then to be told that the drafts have been, the selections have been taken from them. The fact that he got Cade Simpson in that draft was a masterstroke when you think about it, because really the club had nothing left, in terms of draft selection. So you'd have to say that was probably the moment you'd dearly love to take back if you could, because you can't gild the lily on it. It did set the club back years, and it's only really in recent times that they've started to emerge from it. Because I think what happened there also, fellas, is that, you know, when the transgressions occurred, Carlton was last. So the penalties that we imposed, were hit us with interest. And as I said to you, you know, it took the club a long, long time to recover. To its credit, they took their medicine. They never complained. They never challenged. They never went to the courts. And we've had to, we've had to start again. But I think that's part of the excitement, boys. And if I could just sort of end this answer by saying, one of the most exciting things that's happening right now at the Carlton Football Club is, if you think of people like myself, you guys maybe, that have lived long enough to see the successful times, we've actually seen the best and the worst Carlton eras in history. So we have this great empathy to see success again. Then you've got the next generation down who haven't seen success at all, kids that are longing to see Carlton turn it around. And there's been this suggestion that the Carlton's most recent generation is lost. It was never there. They're not around. Well, if you saw that great footage 2 weeks ago of the kids on Princess Park with Charlie Curnow, what that told me was that generation is not lost. It's dormant. And that those kids are just craving to see Carlton turn around again. It's fantastic to go to the footy now and see a kid who will tell you, this is only the second or third Carlton win I've ever seen. And I just feel for those kids that, you know, you just hope good times around the corner for them, because they don't know what they are.
There were plenty of kids over here at the Fremantle game as well.
Yeah, I was just going to say, there's some good parenting out there though, Tony.
Yes,
and
yes.
I don't know if you saw many images from the game over here we won against Frio, but The ground was packed full of families, little kids wearing the Carlton jumpers. Carlton will always be strong, and we've got a lot of resolve, and we've been through those times. Mate, unfortunately, I'm going to have to call time on the interview there.
Yes, no dramas.
We've got everything going at once here. That was not planned.
She's singing.
But I like it. I like it. So, Tony, we do have to wrap it up, mate. It's been a fantastic interview. And, look, we're really looking forward to this one today. And it was nice to get you on the other side of the mic, basically, and give you a little bit of accolade and talk about you instead of you talking about other people, because you've done a fantastic job. You bleed blue. We appreciate everything you do. It's been fantastic having you on today, and we'll hopefully have a chat with you again soon. So, as we always say, mate, quick prediction, how are we going to go against the Swans?
Get on, boys. I'm not allowed to bet, but to anyone who can have a little flutter, let's go the good guys. I think they're a real chance today.
Absolutely.
No, buddy, we'll be all right.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
Well said, mate. Thanks again, Tony. It's been a great interview. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope the supporters and the listeners out there enjoyed it. Go Blues.
Thanks, Tony.
Go Blues. Thanks very much, fellas.
See you, Tony.
No worries, mate.
Thanks, Tony.
See ya.
Cheers.
Bye.
Well, that was just one of those great interviews we had to drag out, folks, wasn't it? As, wow, and you could
classic.
Go on.
Like he can talk and talk.
He paints a picture, doesn't he?
He does.
I'm so jealous he got to see Sid Jackson play.
I did.
We are trying to get him down to one of our events. So, inside.
We might get Sid down there by the looks of things before the end of the year. Not sure which function or grand final or whatever, but it's looking good. So we'll see how that all goes. Guys, we've got to go to another break. Another great segment. Listeners out there, I hope you're really enjoying the show so far. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues on 91.3 Sport FM every Saturday from 9 till 10 a.m. Your best way to start your footy weekend. Yes, Chris, make it fast. No, good, because you never do. So we are going to throw to a break. When we come back, as always, the hyphen, David Rees-Jones, will be on as we review the Blues on our much-anticipated segment, The Shirt Front. Go Blues.
Go the Blues.
Go Baggers.
Blue Baggers of WA. Join more than 60,000 members and be part of the record-breaking Carlton Army today. It is time to prove you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria in 2019. The region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership.carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a Blue Bagger.
Station sponsor.
Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. From our functions and events, you can find out about further upcoming local events. Carlton Football Club memberships, purchase of local WA Blues merchandise, season raffle tickets, even Carlton number plates for your car. Just look for one of the committee shirts and ask one of your friendly representatives for any information. We as a committee also help Carlton with pre- and post-match functions whenever the Carlton Football Club teams travel to Perth. Attending the pre-match functions gives you the chance to win match day ground passes. More information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues!
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers.
It's okay. TechTiger can help.
For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au.
Tech Tiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dog Blues.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by your WA Carlton Football Club Network supporter group, the WA Blues. Today, presented by myself, John Allen, with fellow panellists Chris Brownie, Adam Briggs, and the dulcet tones of Andy Baritone Jones. At this time of the program, we delve deeper into the depths of the Blues' performance last week, review this week's game, lower our lead shoulder and barrel straight into the most anticipated breakfast radio segment in Perth, The Shirt Front. A very warm welcome, as always, goes out to our very great friend of the WA Blues, 1987 Norm Smith medalist, premiership hero. And let me tell you, if you pierce this man's veins and arteries, it would spurt dark navy blue ink for days. I speak, of course, of the one and only Mr. David Rees-Jones. Good morning, hi from the mate. We nearly snatched it after playing only 20 minutes of footy last week, didn't we?
Yeah, nearly did, and give him a head start again. But, yeah, there's a bit of that amber fluid going through my veins too. So
good on you.
Be a bit of amber and navy blue in there, I reckon. But, no, it was...
Is that just this morning? You've cracked it?
I think David Teague needs to get him out half an hour before the game, play a quarter of football, play a full quarter of football amongst themselves, and then they'll be fine. So,
they just don't
seem to be able to get a start, do they?
No. It's just bizarre. So, you know, we'll see what happens. You've got Cripper back in there in the engine this week, so, you know, it'd be nice to be 20 points up at three-quarter time, wouldn't it? Mate, quickly, where did you see it last week, in all seriousness, with the seemingly lack of intensity out of the blocks and somewhat unusual positioning by midfielders, meaning we didn't get first hands on it at centre bounces? Is that just a young mid-group still trying to gel?
Yeah, it is a little bit. They made some mistakes and in football these days, you're made to pay a pretty heavy price when you make mistakes. So they made quite a few in that first quarter, and to their credit, they didn't give up. They stuck it out. As I say, could have pinched it at the end.
Yeah. Over to you, Andy.
G'day, Hive. How you doing, mate? It's Andy here.
Yeah, all good, mate.
So with McGovern out, pretty much a straight swap for Big Harry Mackay. We've seen Levi work his way back into the team and back into form recently. Is it time to look at a move back for Mitch? After all, he has it in his bloodlines. You know, Jeremy is a pretty good backman. Reads the play well and has a good set of hands. What do you reckon, Hive?
Look, it could be an option down the track, but you mentioned Levi, and he's been able, and we forget Liam Jones too, who made that transition to the back line. Josh Fraser, the Northern Blues coach, put him back there, and he did some wonderful things back in the back line. Basically forced his way into the senior team and did the same thing. Now, they did the same with Levi this year. I think with Mitch McGovern, we need to persist. I think he's had a few little issues there, and it takes a little bit of time to adjusting to a new team. So I wouldn't worry about that too much at this stage. And I think we've got a pretty good back line, to be honest. I mean, Marshbank's going to be out for the rest of the season now, which is a bit of a blow. But it's a great opportunity for young Goddard to come in. He has been in the best three players nearly every match I've looked at. You look at the Northern Blues results, and he's been in the top three nearly every week. So he was well overdue to be promoted anyway. And let's hope he has a great game. He deserves it. He's a good young kid. Didn't get much opportunity at St Kilda, and we've been given a second chance. And quite often we see those second chances. People grab him by the scruff of the neck and go with it.
Morning, David. Chris here. Mark Murphy was fantastic again last week, particularly in the second half. With Cripper back this week, does Tiggy keep his strongest suit through the midfield and look to ambush the Swans from the let-go today?
I think you've got it, because the real strength of the Swans is their midfield. That, obviously the buddy down forward, but other than that, their real strength is their midfield, how many players they can rotate through that midfield too. So, it's going to be very important. And I think Murph will be integral in that. Obviously, getting Cripper back's a massive plus for us as well. And same with Harry Mackay too, because, he was leading the contested marks, early in the year until he got hurt, sort of thing. So, he's only going to get better and better, as the games and as the years run on. So, there's some big ins this week and no excuses, really.
No, absolutely. And our buddy out as well. So he always towels us up no matter what we try with him. So, it's a big, big strength taken away that helps us. Adam, sorry for raining on your parade and just taking that one away from you, mate.
G'day,
let's
Hive.
Go with whatever else I write, mate.
Yeah,
let's
g'day, Hive. Adam here, mate. Good to speak to you. Listen, they pretty much touched on the things I was going to ask you about. You know, it was more like I was going to mention Buddy being out, which is great for us because he does usually have a day out. Weeders and Marchie out. You mentioned Hugh coming in, so I guess we just have to try and fill in, you know, soldier out, soldier in as far as forward and back. But you mentioned how strong the midfield is, so, you know, do we try and stop them? Like, you know, what's our plan? Do we try and subdue them and subdue their strengths in the midfield, or do we play to our strengths? Because we've got a pretty good young, upcoming midfield ourselves, and, of course, the Titan that is Cripper coming back in.
Yeah, look, and the one thing about the Swans midfield, that they're good accumulators, and when they can get to play the game on their own terms. Earlier this year, we played them, and geez, we looked good in the first quarter, and then they were able to adjust the game and play to their style, and that really took it away from us, and for the next three quarters, they were able to really dominate and get on top of us. But what we have got, we've got pace. You know, and they're a pretty slow midfield. They're good in and under players and so forth. But we can beat them on that outside. So, and that's what I think we need to use. We need to use the outside ball. Gripper getting the ball out. I mean, it's great having him back for this game and being able to extract the ball and you know, the young kids like O'Brien. But Murphy's quick too. You know, Murphy's got pace. So, you know, we really need to use our assets and try and expose their deficiencies, and that is a lack of pace with the Swans.
Yep. David, Chris again. Jack Silvani last week, his pressure, tackling, either when he was in the midfield and then when he was pushed deep forward, and he's sparked a bit of excitement, kicking a couple of consecutive goals. Do you think he's finally found his spot and he's got his groove? What are your thoughts on that?
I think he should have changed his surname before he got drafted, and we wouldn't be talking so much about him because, look, he's a kid, and I've watched him since day one, and he always seems to be trying and having a go, and he's, you know, he gets criticised because he's, you know, because he's a Silvani, and he's expected to be an absolute superstar, and, you know, it is going to fall on his brother Ben. You know, I mean, he's going to probably have to take the pressure off his brother when he gets his opportunity too. So it's look, anyone else I don't think would have got anywhere near the sort of criticism. I mean, there are talks about, you know, Carlton selling him off at the end of the year and different stuff over here. It was absolutely ridiculous and wouldn't have happened to any other player. It's just his surname Silvani, and he has to live with that. So and he's doing it the way he knows how, and he just has a go, and he's a terrific young kid.
Interestingly, he hasn't played 50 games.
No.
Zach Fisher plays his 50th today.
Yeah.
He's been electrifying, but he's getting just better with every game as well. Jack's starting to hit his straps.
Yep.
He hasn't played that 50 games yet. Let's just wait a little bit longer and let him prove all the scripters wrong.
He's just a young lad.
And he needs to play well. He's got a good football.
And well, the other thing is, you know, I mean, and we're going to look at all our players. I mean, you're going to be playing, you know, your best footy when you've got that 60, 70 games under your belt sort of thing. And you feel part of it. You feel like you are a genuine bona fide, you know, league footballer, and that's when you can, you know, take your game to the next level, and we've got a lot of players that have a long way to go before they get to that stage. So it's exciting. It really is exciting. And if you look at it in a different way, instead of the wins and losses sort of thing, you can look at a really exciting group of young players. And I think I said the other week, you know, the queue would be from here to Perth at the moment to coach the team, because you'd be bad not to, they're not wanting to be involved with a specially talented group of young players over the next 3 to 4 years.
Well, mate, us versus the Swannies tomorrow.
Today.
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 I'm doing it again, Chris.
Very soon.
I'm doing it again. mate, against your old mob. So let's hope maybe that we'll see a bit of the bringing back the Biff, mate. We've been looking forward to a bit of that. Today could be the day. A bit of rivalry between the Blues and Swans in recent years as well. So a bit of bitterness up at the SCG especially. So enjoy the game today, I should say. Not tomorrow.
No worries, guys.
Enjoy the game. Yeah, thanks again for your time, mate. It's been a ripper. And go Blues.
That's the most important thing. Look, I think we can win today, so let's just go hard and barricade.
Yeah, well,
good on you guys.
Go the Blues.
Thanks,
Norman.
Cheers,
thanks,
mate. Have a good one. Yeah. The hyphen, again, always fantastic good. Insights, always good. Good, honest reviews into some of the players and last week and the upcoming game today.
Yes.
So, look, guys, before we move on to talking about our next event, I'm just going to throw it over to Adam for the Northern Blues review, who's putting their hand up. A couple of them Hugh Goddard in the team, obviously. But there's a few others putting their hands up. So go for it, Adam.
Yeah, okay. So, look, it was another case of what might have been for the Northern Blues last week. They going down by 13 points to the Demons at Casey Field. Final quarter collapse saw the Demons prevail 11-19-85 to 11-6-72. Northern's defence found themselves under heavy pressure with constant forward 50s, but it was Jared Garland who hit the scoreboard for the second week running with the Blues' first two goals. Josh DeLuca, who we had on the show a couple of weeks ago, continues to show good signs and named as an emergency this week as a result. So, Chocker has... He's maintained the Blues' relentless forward pressure, which resulted in a goal, and saw Northern take a seven-point lead into quarter time. Second term, Northern looked more composed, and Andrew Phillips standing up to be the dominant force in the air, marking strongly and providing first use to Northern's midfielders in the ruck. The moment of the match came from Tom Nikonic, though. The king, he slotted a beautiful goal. Contender of goal for the year, DeConning's near-impossible snap was a catalyst for the Blues' 13-point lead at halftime. At half-time, we were looking good. It sort of didn't go well from there. But Hugh Goddard did everything after the main change to hold up the Blues, putting his body on the line in frantic moments, trying to stop Casey's forward pressure. However, a dominant performance by Casey in the third quarter saw them ultimately take a narrow lead at the final change. Inaccuracy only prevented it from being a greater margin. Casey came out of the gates in the final quarter, putting its foot down to extend their three-point lead. Late goals to Matthew Lowe and Jesse Palmer gave the Blues a chance, but it was largely dictated by the Demons, who ultimately emerged 13-point winners. We had goals to Pasolo, Garlett, Phillips kicked two, singles to DeConig, DeLuca, Lobb and Palmer. The best on the field were probably Fasolo, who was ultimately named as an emergency this week as well. McCready, Lobb, Schumacher showed some good signs again, and DeLuca and Phillips. I think Schumacher continues to show good signs. Yeah. He looks like he could be a player.
Yes.
The people putting up their hands would be Fasolo. Goddard, I mentioned, who's actually come into the team this week. It'd be great to see him out for his first game. He's probably earned that for a long time, but
certainly
due to our strong defence, hasn't had an opportunity. So good to see the young fella get a go, previous first-round pick. So the club rates him pretty highly. So hopefully we'll see some good signs. And that's it from me. I think that covers off.
I suspect Angus Schumacher will play before the end of the year as well. He's been really solid down the back. Young guy, started last year out of the draft. So and also Charles, I think, obviously, we'll probably see him before the year's out. He must have been pretty close this week, even
Does
though he's only played three games.
Sorry, mate?
Does anyone know if he flew?
Don't know.
Wouldn't have a clue. So before we throw over to our next event, it's just interestingly to note, you know, when Collingwood supporters are up and about, you know, they start disrobing and they're wearing a Manchester United shirt underneath. Who won the NBA this year? The Golden State again, was it? I don't know. Toronto Raptors undies on. I don't know. Gary Wright, you're getting ahead of yourself, mate. Just calm down, buddy. He's from Manchester.
Oh, so we won't mention the cricket then, either.
We didn't ask for excuses, mate. We won't mention the cricket.
Why'd you have to bring that up?
Guys, next week, the 20th of July, Saturday game again for us, event day, against the Suns. Very winnable game for us as well. Saturday 12:10 bounce down at the Empire.
Perfect.
Get on down. Guys, we've been averaging over 100 this year. at all of our events. It's been a great turnaround by the supporters, and we thank them very much, because what we try to do is offer fantastic raffle prizes and specials and get all the families down and all the kids, and that's what's been happening. And everyone's feeling it. And if you haven't been to an event, it'll be a ripper to get down to. Again, very winnable game, and whatever happens, we make lots of noise and it creates lots of fun. The kids are having a ball with the giant Jenga. Get on down to the Empire next Saturday, 20th of July, 12:10 bounce down. Get a bit early and order your lunch. The chef there is fantastic.
Oh, fantastic. Great, get the hot
great
wings.
Specials. You can't go wrong.
Cheap drinks.
Let's get over 100 there, and we'll see what old Johnny can pull out of the treasurer's hat as far as a raffle prize, see how much depth of crap I can get myself in there, as I like to do. And remember, if you're wearing your membership badge and Carlton kick 100 points or more, there's specials there for you as well. Yes, Adam.
Yeah, so just while you're on that, John, I just want to plug the memberships. If you please get on board, we've managed to get to, we're approaching 65,000 members now. I think 63,000 members, if I'm going to check on that. But it's, highest ever. We broke our membership tally in March. Yep. And, there's some great, look, if you get on and please join up with the club, show your support, get your colours on. They've got some great membership packages there.
Oh, she's singing.
You know what that means, everyone? Time's up.
No weekly whack.
No weekly whack. We're going to, you know what, Andy, we might invite you back into the studio next week, I think.
Good.
And let you give the weekly whack. Sorry we've run out of time for that one today. But we do have to go. Mate, thanks everyone for listening. Thanks to Tony DeBolfo.
Yeah,
that was a great interview. The Hyphen, as always, David Rees-Jones, thank you very much. To Terry DeCarney for providing a little bit of insight there with what happened at training this week. And as we always say,
go Blues.
Go the Blues.
Let's smash
the
Swans tomorrow. Go Baggers.
Blue Baggers of WA. Join more than 60,000 members and be part of
it. And they will know that they've been playing against the fame.